Well, today I have a very special treat for you. Our very own Don Miller is going to bring the word. Can you go ahead and stretch your hand? Yeah. Can you go ahead and stretch your hands towards Don as we pray a prayer of blessing over him and his family as he gets ready to share what God has put on his heart. God, we thank you so much for this man of God who leads us in worship every Sunday. We pray that you would bless him and keep him, that you would prosper him and show your favor upon him, on him, on Lindsay, on Levi, on Judah, and his entire family in ways that exceed anything they could ever even ask or imagine. God, we pray today that as he preaches, God, that ministry would become easy, not because we want the easy way out, but Lord, that it would come easy as he lives with open hands and an open mouth under an open heaven, and as he brings to us what you've put in his heart. And we pray it all in the name of Jesus. And Lifehouse said, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Almost just wanted to play keys and just sing a little bit. Man. So, if you were here the last time I spoke, it's been a little bit. I had 5 points, and I think the message took 17 minutes. So today I've come with 27 and a half points. So this is going to be a little longer. No, I'm kidding. Man, what a day this has been. What the last 8 months for me and my family have been. When Pastor Drew asked me to speak, there was a part of me. He said, would you be willing to speak on the 15th? I'll be getting back from Israel. And I said, absolutely. And as I began to start to study a little bit what I felt the Lord was giving me, I'm going to be honest, I don't feel qualified to speak it. And I even hinted to him, hey, listen, let me speak on the 15th. But if you get something while you're in Israel and you feel you need to speak it, I have no issues. Keep my mouth shut. And he said, no. And I said, okay. I struggled with this message a little bit. And then I found out that we were doing testimonies today, giving out our, and the testimonies were wonderful. We rejoice with our brothers and sisters who saw supernatural, incredible things. And I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, I promise. But I also know that there's a lot of people in this room that are hurting. We celebrate with our brothers and our sisters, but some of us are still on a journey, needing freedom, needing deliverance. And God's promised it with confirmation after confirmation, but it's just not here yet. So if you want to give this message a title, it would be When Heaven is Silent. Most of us have prayed prayers that felt urgent, maybe even desperate, and yet the answer didn't come, or at least not the way we hoped. We prayed for healing, but the sickness lingered. We prayed for breakthrough, but the door stayed shut. We prayed for clarity, but God seemed quiet. We prayed for peace, but the storm continues to rage. Today I want to talk to you about prayers that haven't been answered yet and what faith looks like in the waiting. My scripture for today comes out of Psalms chapter 13, verse 1. Some say this psalm is when David is in a cave. He's being hunted by Saul. And he really starts this chapter off full of encouragement. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? I don't think David was whispering this. I think he was crying this out. How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? And God preserved that prayer in Scripture to remind us. Waiting is not faithlessness. It's often where faith is formed. So my first point, God's silence is not God's absence. One of the biggest lies we believe in the waiting season is if God hasn't answered, he must not be listening. But silence does not equal distance. Psalms 145 and 18 says, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. His silence is not distance. His silence is not absence. Think about this. How many parents do we have in the room? Do you remember when you had your first little bambino, your first little kid? Maybe the second, third, some of y'all like 8 and 9. You took replenishing the earth as a personal project, and I love it. But when you first have a baby and they start to stand, as a good parent, you may help them up, but you step and you watch them little legs wobble a little bit and they fall on their bottom. And then you pick them back up and you let them go again, helping them get strength in the legs. But at some point, once they learn how to stand and keep their balance, there comes a point where like, okay, I need this child to move forward. So as a good parent, what do? You step back. Come on. I'm still going to catch you because we got family photos tomorrow and there's a coffee table here. So I'm not going to let the pain be the reality of this. So I'm still going to catch you as a parent, but I'm going to take a step back. And what looks like absence is just distanced. The distance isn't abandonment, it's development. The distance isn't abandonment, it's development. Sometimes God steps back so your faith can step forward. God's silence is often the space where your faith learns to stand. He puts us in situations. And by the way, here's the hard truth. We pray for this. We sing songs about this. I want to be tried by fire. No, I don't. No, I don't. We sing songs, draw me close to you. I want to be like you, Lord. Whatever you need, let me be an open and willing vessel. And the Lord says, good. I'm going to stand you up. And them legs is going to shake. But once you get your feeding, I'm going to step back. And you got to learn how to walk by faith. And there's going to be times where your faith is weak and your legs are going to shake. But he's always there to catch you. God's silence is often the space where your faith learns to stand. Point number two, delay does not mean denial. Some prayers aren't rejected, they're reserved. Think about it. Abraham waited decades for Isaac. Joseph waited years in prison for the promise. Hannah waited in tears for a child. Jesus waited 3 days in the grave before resurrection power was revealed. God specializes in not yet answers. Think about it. Any Amazon people in the house? Man, I got a good amen out of someone. We got some Amazon people in the house? Do we have any Amazon Prime people in the house? Yeah, you know. You know. You order something online, you get the confirmation immediately, your order has been placed. Now, let me ask you a question. The order's been placed, but has the package arrived yet? No. But we don't panic about that. Because you trust, or we trust the process. Why do we trust the process? Because confirmation came before manifestation. We trust Amazon with a package. Well, I don't know if we do anymore. Let's just be honest. Lately, it's been a little crazy. But we trust Amazon with a package, but we won't trust our Heavenly Father with His promises. He's given us confirmation, but we're now, where is it? When we get an Amazon package, we track it. It's ordered. It's shipped. Delayed. But the delay doesn't mean cancellation. It means it's still on the way. It's just been delayed. And that may frustrate us with Amazon. We're paying good money. We expect the package now. But then we look at our Heavenly Father when He goes, I have to delay this for a moment because you ain't ready for it. And we have two options. We can either lean in or we can push away. And unfortunately for most of us, 9 times out of 10, it's push away. God sent confirmation in His promise. And just because it hasn't arrived yet doesn't mean heaven canceled the order. It's just been delayed. I want to encourage you with that this morning. The prayers that you've been praying. I know a lot of you in this room that God's given you confirmation. That He's not forsaken you. He's not abandoned you. You're just in a season of delay. I know this because the Lord's given me the word for you. And can I tell you, as someone who sometimes the Lord uses that in those manners, it kind of stinks to give that word. And a year later, 2 years later, there's still delay. Did I miss it? What? Lord, what's going on? And now I find myself in the same situation where things have been promised. Word has been spoken. But we are in delay. But I refuse to be angry because heaven hasn't canceled the order. And heaven hasn't canceled the order for you either. Number 3, waiting reveals what we trust most. Waiting reveals what we trust most. How many gym goers we got in the house? That's what I'm talking about. Raise your hands. Gym goers. Listen, so I've pretty much been in a gym since I was about 15. We'd go 3 to 4 times a week. And when I first started, there was a guy that I worked out with. His name was Joe. And I told him, I said, I want to get big like you. I want to be strong like you. And he said, okay, we can make it happen. And I said, great, let's make it happen. I go in the gym, and I'm ready. I'm going to lift all the heavyweight. Puts me on the bench press. And he hands me I lay under the bench press, and I'm like, where's the weight? He goes, the bar is the weight. But I wanted to lift heavyweight. The bar is the weight. I've got to teach you form. Okay. You know how humiliating it is to be a 16-year-old boy in a gym and you're wanting to lift heavy and the guy you're lifting with goes, you can just lift the bar. And then you look over and there's a lady in her 60s, and she's got weight on the bar, and just rah, rah. It's pretty horrible. It's pretty horrible. And there was multiple times during that season of just learning how to breathe and the form and what I should and shouldn't eat and all those things. There would be multiple times I wanted to quit. I want it now. I want to build muscle now. I want to lift all the heavy weight. I want to lose all the fat. I want to do all the things all at the same time. And Joe would say the same thing to me every time. Trust the process. Trust the process. Waiting reveals what we trust most. But waiting exposes a question we don't like to ask. Do I trust God's timing or just his power? Do I trust God's timing or do I just trust his hand? Do I trust his heart or do I trust his hand? It's easy to trust God when he moves fast. It's hard when he moves slow. But waiting strips us of control and reveals whether our faith is rooted in God's goodness or God's speed. Isaiah 40, verse 31, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. Notice it doesn't say those who rush God. Come on, God, let's go. Get it together. I'm going to make you a man of your word. It says those who wait. Can I tell you? Waiting reveals whether we trust God's heart or just his outcome. And waiting exposes whether we trust God's timing or only our own expectations. Point number four. Sometimes God answers differently than we expected. That's never fun. Let's be real. It's like I said earlier. We pray for closeness and he's like, cool, here's a trial. You want to be close? Cool. Let me put you in a refiner's fire. Let me pull all the impurities out of you so I can see my reflection in you. That's never fun. Sometimes God answers differently than we expected. We often pray for removal while God works on transformation. We pray, God, change the situation. And God responds, I want to change you in the situation. Think about this, Mary and Martha with Lazarus. God's timing may look like failure before it looks like glory. Mary and Martha expected Jesus to come quickly and heal Lazarus. Instead, Jesus waited and Lazarus died. From their perspective, the prayer was unanswered. But Jesus wasn't late. He was preparing a greater revelation. They saw a medical emergency. Jesus saw a divine opportunity. They saw a dying man. Jesus saw a coming miracle. They saw delay. Jesus saw preparation. They asked for a miracle, but God gave a testimony. God will sometimes let a situation outgrow human ability so it can reveal divine authority. I'm going to say that again. God will sometimes let a situation outgrow human ability so it can reveal divine authority. Point number five, Jesus understands unanswered prayer. Jesus understands unanswered prayer. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, Matthew 26, verse 39, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. The cup didn't pass. But the resurrection came. If Jesus himself experienced a prayer that wasn't answered the way he asked, then unanswered prayer is not a sign of weak faith. It's part of the human journey. God didn't spare Jesus from the cross, but he used the cross to save the world. On the cross, heaven was silent. Pain was real. Prayer seemed unanswered. Yet what looked like God's silence became humanity's salvation. The greatest unanswered prayer in history produced the greatest answered promise in eternity. So what do we do during the waiting? It's so funny. Chad kind of mentioned this, talked to me before service, and then he presented it today. I asked him to present it. I was like, man, I really think this was from the Lord. I was working on this last night. So what do we do during the waiting time? And this is going to seem so cliche, because it is. I'm like, Lord, what do we do during the waiting time? What do we do during the delay? And I heard two things. Pray. And read your word. But that's just too simple. Give me more detail. What is that? What do you mean, pray? And then I was reminded of a song. An old hymnal. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Like, I've sang this song a bazillion times, y'all. But it, like, lifted off the page. Oh, what a peace. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything. Everything. Not just the good. You want to know about my bad day too? You want to know about my bad day and how I'm kind of angry at you because I've been waiting on the promise for the last 8 months? Yeah, everything. Psalms 145 and 18, I read this earlier and it just lifted off the page. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He doesn't want your rehearsed prayer. He doesn't want rehearsal. Psalms 13, I stopped at verse 1. Now, I want you to remember this. I'm going to read the whole thing. It's only 6 verses. I want you to remember something about this. This is King David, heart after God. This particular chapter was given to the choir director. This was a song that they sang. Remember that. Because when we sing here, you ain't going to hear lyrics like this. Right? How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God, give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. This is a great chapter so far, isn't it? I mean, David is basically like the king of blues here too. Like, this is blues. I'm a blues guy. If you know me, you know I love blues music. That's what it is. Up to this point, It's not good. But he's being truthful. He's being truthful. Life sucks right now, God. My enemies have surrounded me. Have you abandoned me? Have you turned your face from me? Why are you not answering my prayers? Why can I not hear your voice? Why have you turned your back on me? Hear the anger. But man, he says a three-letter word that changes everything. In verse 5, he says, but. Let me go back. Look on my answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. I'm angry. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Listen, all we pray is that last part. We get in prayer time with the Lord, and for some reason we go through this thought that he doesn't want to hear all the grud. I don't want to tell him I'm angry at him. I don't want him to know that, like, I feel surrounded and, like, my enemies are going to kill me. God, whatever your will is. Even Jesus, can this cup pass? Do I have to do this? And we go to the Father. Listen, we don't even go to him as children when we pray to him that way. Think about when you were a child, or his parents, his little children, you have little children. He says to come to him like children. When your kid wants an Oreo, first thing in the morning, my kid did. My kid had no issue saying, I want an Oreo. And I said, no. He said, I want an Oreo. And I said, go ask your mother. Just kidding. We joke about that, but we won't do that to our Father in heaven. We go to him more as a slave, afraid that, oh my gosh, if we complain at all, he's just going to turn up the heat. Oh, you think it was bad? Let me just throw a little extra fire on the coal. You thought that was bad? I'll just abandon you completely. And that's not who our Father is. That's not how he works. He wants us to come to him as children. Dad, I don't understand why this is going on. Why am I struggling with this? Have you abandoned me? Have you just, like, left me out in the cold? But I will still trust you because you are good and you are God. So let me just encourage you. If you're waiting today, if heaven feels quiet, if you're tired of praying the same prayer, hear this. Keep praying. Keep believing. God sees you. God hears you. God has not forgotten you. God has not abandoned you. Your prayer is not ignored. Your tears are not wasted. And your faith is not in vain. Could we stand? I'm going to ask the altar team to come. If you don't mind, just bow your head, close your eyes. I used to hate when they would say, no one look but God in the ministry. We're all ministers. But I am going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And this has nothing to do with raising of hands. I just want you to be able to focus for a few moments. If you're here today and you've been carrying a prayer that hasn't been answered yet, a prayer you've whispered late at night, a prayer you've stopped talking about because it hurts too much, can I tell you this moment's for you today? You don't have to explain it. And you don't even have to justify it. And you don't have to pretend you're strong. The altar is not a place for people who have it together. It's a place for people who are willing to trust God while they wait. So if you've been discouraged, if you've been wondering whether God still sees you, if you've been fighting the temptation to give up praying altogether, I want to invite you to this altar right now. Not because the answer is guaranteed today, but because God's presence is. Some of you need to lay down disappointment. Some of you need to lay down bitterness and anger. Some of you need to lay down offense. Some of you need to lay down the pressure of trying to make something happen in your own strength. And some of you need to ask the Lord to baptize you in the Holy Spirit today. But Jesus is here, and He is not asking you for perfect faith. He's asking you for honest faith. God is not waiting for faith that never trembles. He responds to faith that keeps reaching. So if you're waiting on God, if you're waiting for healing, for direction, for restoration, for breakthrough, maybe for peace, I'm going to ask you again to step out of your seat and come. Maybe you're here and you've stopped praying because of disappointment. It made you distant from God. Today is your moment to come home. God has not rejected you. He's not abandoned you. He's been waiting for you.
Still he reigns on his throne. The Mountains may tremble and sea billows roll. I'll sing it is well with my soul. My God is still in control. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. God is still in control, and still he reigns on his throne. The mountains may tremble and sea billows roll. I'll sing it is well with my soul. My God is still in control. God is still in control, and still he reigns on his throne. The mountains may tremble, sea billows roll. I'll sing it is well with my soul. My God is still in control. It is well. God is still in control, but still he reigns on his throne. The mountains may tremble and sea billows roll. I'll sing it is well with my soul. My God is still in control. God is still in control, still he reigns on his throne. The mountains may tremble and sea billows roll. I'll sing it is well with my soul. My God is still in control. God is still in control, and still he reigns on his throne. The mountains may tremble and sea billows roll. I'll sing it is well with my soul. My God is still in control. It is well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. My God is still in control, and still he reigns on his throne. The mountains may tremble and sea billows roll. I'll sing it is well with my soul. My God is still in control. Thank you.
you're still praying, please continue. But I just want to ask that all across the house that we could join hands. If you're anti-hand holding, maybe just an arm on the shoulder. But just symbolic of the community that we are together. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And as I pray, I want to ask you, even if you don't know them, to pray for the individuals to your right or to your left. Doesn't have to be a fancy prayer. Doesn't have to be a specific prayer. But just an honest prayer. Father, thank you so much for this incredible word that you have delivered to us today. God, thank you that we don't have to get everything right to come to you, that we just are invited to come to you, that perfection is not the goal, but rather pursuit, and that pursuit isn't to be a better version of ourselves, rather that pursuit is just you. Father, I pray for every individual on this property. God, that the youngest baby in our nursery, or maybe in this room right now, that even though on an intellectual level they cannot comprehend what's being said, Father, you've given that baby a spirit that you would begin ministering to them and calling them to yourself and letting them know who they are in you. God, to the oldest senior saint gathered here, that they would be reassured that your plan does not end with age, it only advances as they do. God, that you were still at work in every one of our lives, moving, ministering, providing. And yes, sometimes that does include seasons of difficulty and trial. But Lord, those seasons aren't there to tear us down. But Lord, they're there to build us up to the man or to the woman that you are calling and making us to be. God, I pray that you would give us strength and endurance. And Lord, that we would remember the promise of your word in Philippians 1:6, that he who began this good work in each of us will see it through to completion. And we pray it in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, can you give the Lord a hand clap and a shout of praise? Yes, amen. Can you show your appreciation to Don for ministering to us today? Will you put our blessing on the screen? Let's bless ourselves. Let's bless one another as we leave today. Let's read this together. The Lord bless me and keep me. The Lord turn his face toward me and give me peace. I am loved. I am highly valued. God is with me. I release what's behind me. I receive what God is doing now. I am moving forward in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, family. I can't wait to worship with you again. I pray you have an amazing week.